It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Panthers.
I need some more coffee to keep up with you, obviously.
The Panthers are... It's unbelievable.
They got it rolling. Everybody, and the great thing for them, everybody's contributing. I mean, you had Reinhardt open, Verhaeghe had two goals, Barkov had three assists.
Yeah,
Bobrovsky is like, I think he tied Grant Fuhr for the all-time, on the all-time goalie wins list.
And then you look at the start Lundell had, and Bennett got off to a great start when they're a little shorthanded. Those guys kind of picked everything up. And by the way, we'll have Paul Maurice, the head coach, on a little bit later on in the show as they got a few home games, get a chance to stay home for a while. But wow, that was one, and I forget about the last 2 years and how good they've been, including the Stanley Cup last year. These five road wins that they had, including back-to-back nights in Finland, and then the three up in the Northeast, it's pretty impressive.
Big
those five wins.
Yeah, and I think that was great for them, to go to Finland, because there's a lot of Finns on the team.
I think they have four or five guys on the team from Finland.
Yeah, and sort of something a little different to keep their juices going. They've played a lot of hockey the last 2 years. You know, very short off seasons, but you wouldn't know it the way they're playing.
Yeah.
They are, and it's a great mix. What they've done is they like smart teams, they've had to change some players because of money.
Not the core,
but enough, just enough to tweak it a little,
yeah,
to keep it new juice coming into the new energy. And Paul Maurice is a great, he's got a great handle on what to do. And as he says, he downplays his role all the time.
Well, he does, yes.
And
since he put his system in,
yep.
And he said the old system you guys had, where you had a lot of points and got knocked out in the playoffs, it doesn't work. And everybody was kind of, ooh. But he's right. He does know what it's supposed to look like. Look at the playoff wins that they've had, the comebacks, the dominance. And they look right now as good as just about anybody in hockey. They've just been fantastic, off to a great start. So, Coach will join us later in the show. You want to talk about great entertainment for the National Football League. Last night, and it had a little bit of everything, including controversy, basically, on the last drive and the two-point conversion. And Dave and I are sitting in here, totally disagree on the two-point conversion.
We started the show. We started a pre-show, which we never do.
Well, you asked me, and I go, I saw Todd Bowles, and he just got ripped for kicking the extra point and not going for two. And so I was thinking the same thing last night, like, way to go, Cincinnati. I mean, they're trying to get back to 500. And then, honestly, there are two penalties on that play. Dave, and this one's an interesting one. And All Day Dan Day's with us, and I'm going to ask All Day, who's also a passionate fan about everything. So there's two penalties not called on the two-point conversion. Mike Gesicki is getting mugged on one side, and then Joe Burrow gets hit in the face and through the face mask, which usually is the one thing that's always called. You do always. Anything around a quarterback, too low or too high, it's getting called. They didn't call it. They decided, and we see this in all sports, we don't want to be the story at the end of the game.
That's
Let
twice. That's twice on Thursday night. The Sam Darnold got it last Thursday, which an even worse face mask. But where are these referees at that? And why isn't face mask a reviewable? They got it. That has to be changed. Right?
Well, so
I get you can't stop the game all the time.
The part that killed the whole thing is those guys go right to the former NFL official who's up in all the major games. Monday Night Football has one, Thursday Night Football, and they have them on their big games on from CBS and Fox. And they went right to him. He goes, there's two fouls. They got to call those. They missed both of them. They got to call it. Let's be honest. They get fresh downs at that point. 30 something 30 40 seconds,
38 seconds left.
They're going to win. They're going to keep scoring. That defense, not very good for the Ravens. God
neither
bless the
defense,
Ravens.
No, neither defense.
One. That's true.
How can the Ravens be a contender with that defense? That's what I don't. I think they're a regular season contender.
We could do 4 hours on that game last
night. We could.
Night.
In fact, I want to talk because the 2-point conversion. You cannot go for that,
Dave.
38
all day.
Seconds left. 2 timeouts for Baltimore. All you can do on that 2-point conversion is lose the game by not getting it. You're not going to win that. You're going to have to stop them either way. So why lose the game on
okay.
the 2-point conversion?
So let's just say what happened in the last game, and they're able to they kick it. So now Lamar can't get close enough.
He starts at the 30.
Yeah.
38 seconds left because say the kick goes through the
well,
end zone
gonna,
as
he,
usually.
He's going to get,
yeah.
but
– so 6 seconds of play. That's what the formula is. Six. So he has 7 plays. You're telling me Lamar Jackson, they've scored the previous 5 times, isn't going to have a good chance to get it in field goal range?
Yes. So that's why you go for 2.
No, that's why you don't go for 2.
No, that's why you go for 2.
You can't lose the game there. You can't win the game there, but you don't want to lose the game there. You're going to have to make a stop either way. You got to trust your defense
that's
is going to make a stop.
You got to get a stop.
So you
either
can't
way
lose
true.
It on the 2-point conversion.
I think you just take the lead and by the way, Lamar.
This was the Dolphins game last week too. A lot of fans said Mike should have gone for. Remember what? How was that? Buffalo kicked the field goal to win it.
Yeah,
we
basically had penalties. Literally, that 15-yard penalty was the killer. On that drive from
yes,
Poyer.
Yes. But before that, there was a big debate on social media.
Right.
Should they go for 2?
Right.
And it made no sense to go for 2. For the same reason, it didn't make sense for Baltimore. Now, Buffalo had like a minute 30.
I was
roughly.
Surprised Mike didn't go for 2, except the offense is just now getting its mojo. And I think Mike got a little beat up on other.
There's just too much time.
They have a shaky kicker.
Oh, they did.
No. They had a shaky kicker.
That'd
they brought guys in.
That'd be another reason why you wouldn't go for 2, right? Because they have a shaky kicker. In fact, I put that on social. I think it was picked up by Cold Takes or Old Takes, because I said, you know, Buffalo can't trust. Buffalo kicker is a mess right now, and I wouldn't go for 2 either because they can't trust he's going to make a field goal. Then he goes out and kicks a 61-yarder to win
it. Right down the middle. Yeah. Anyway, so that took place, and I know, and please save as you're listening this morning all the conspiracy theories, and I get it. There's going to be the league
what
down
do they
through
want?
The
they
officials.
Want Baltimore?
The league through the officials wants Baltimore to play Kansas City because you know that's all we get about Kansas City. They get every call. By the way, Omar's on this thing. Omar's on this. They get every call.
This is nonsense. The stuff like that. I mean. There's bad officiating week after week, and you can point to it. That's just part of sports, unfortunately.
Right. Outside of that and what happened in the last couple minutes is wild. Lamar took his team down and scored. Joe Burrow came right back. Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson were unbelievable last night. Each guy had 4 touchdown passes. Lamar throwing a couple runs that he had. He gets around a corner somehow
and runs it down
to the 1-yard line, and you're like, how'd that happen? He's at a different MVP level.
They're two exact opposite quarterbacks. It was fascinating to watch. Lamar Jackson not only throwing the ball, but as you said, how he got away on many of those runs. It's just unbelievable. And Joe Burrow, a pocket passer who can move in the pocket, he was getting hit every play.
But he was sliding around.
He
was just as
impressive.
I agree. And then, listen, I'm not a fantasy football guy, but if you had Jamar Chase last night, you got a dream come true, a great way to kick off before anything else. You got 11 catches, 264 yards, and 3 touchdowns. You're going, I'm off to a nice start.
I was watching that game, watching Jamar Chase get open for deep touchdown after deep, and I'm thinking, as we said, I flash back to the Dolphin win up there where they came back from, they were down like 2 or 3 touchdowns in the second half.
Oh, no, he came back and he started lighting them up, and Tyreek's wide open like Jamar Chase was. Remember, he's running down the side and the corner and the safety are looking at each other, and nobody's close to him.
How can Baltimore be a good team and make such fundamental errors of okay, we're just going to play back deep, play deep. And I get they lost Hamilton, their big safety, who was
– who's really good.
Yes, but
– but all I know is the Ravens are 7-3 with a horrible defensive secondary. Horrible, and by the way, very slow. Jamar Chase made some catches underneath and outran guys and never – if they were playing two-hand touch, they were good for touchdowns. It was incredible.
And you're thinking how – they had the angle on them and everything. How did Jamar Chase score on that? Because – and Jamar Chase must be a lot fast. I mean, no, obviously he's fast.
He really run, yeah.
But it was ridiculous how he kept getting open and how he kept eluding.
Well, the safeties for the Ravens really slow. Secondary looked slow overall. It was the whole thing.
I think the Ravens are a fake contender. They're a really good offense, yeah,
they're going to be exposed.
Yes, in the regular season.
So I'm dying to see. By the way, for the Dolphins, we haven't even gotten into it, and we do have a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. But Dolphins, to me, got a little help last night because that's one of the teams, Cincinnati, who's really good. But Cincinnati's got all these – you got to play in that conference. They're all tough games.
Yeah.
You don't get a game off. You know, they're done now. They lost twice to Baltimore. Cincinnati still got to play Pittsburgh. I mean, you just look at their games, and that conference is just – it's a difficult one. So for the Dolphins, getting about trying to put wins together and get some help. And that's one of the teams that's ahead of you by a couple of games. And so you got a little bit of help last night there. But we got a lot.
There's a checklist of 50 things that have to happen for the Dolphins. And that was one check last night.
The biggest one is Monday night winning that game.
Yes, yeah.
Not going up there and morale-wise going, we played them really tough on the road. You know, we lost, but... But look how good we were. It's got to be a win. No more. The Buffalo thing, and we got our confidence back in that loss to Buffalo. No. It doesn't even sound good, Sam, but I get that they played a lot better. They did play a lot better, in the offense especially. So
1 point, the odds 1 point to the Rams. I'm surprised. The Rams are only a 1 point favorite. I get the Dolphins have played better, but they are 2-6.
But Dave, so they've been, they were close even against the bad teams, except, they got blown out twice. I take that back. Buffalo got them, and so did Tennessee, beat them up pretty good too, score-wise. But, hey, man. We're going to get into all of it and see, Dave. I got a bunch of stuff that we're going to get to here coming up about the Dolphins and going forward and what they're thinking, by the way. Share a little bit of that with you as well, whether you like it or not, and we'll jump into that. And then, hey, man, we got a busy time. Canes and Georgia Tech tomorrow at 12 o'clock is a friggin' huge, huge game. As everybody's talking about upsets, and you want to make sure you're not one of them. Inter-Miami's going to be home. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And we got a lot of stuff going on, man. This is the only place I'd want to be. The Canes, Georgia Tech, tomorrow, 12 o'clock. It's going to work out great because I don't leave for L.A. till later in the afternoon, so that's good. Inter-Miami tomorrow, Game 3, Atlanta United. That's an 8 o'clock game.
I'll be out there for that, spreading my soccer expertise on the world.
We're all kind of in that same boat when it comes to...
Watching Messi. Really, you're covering Messi in my job because what's he doing? Everybody's out there. They had, 70,000 in Atlanta last Saturday? I mean, every stop, it's like a Taylor Swift tour stop, you know?
I always wonder this, and I know it's not going to happen. If they move those from, I think it's 22,000 Fort Lauderdale holds.
I think.
20
low 20s, yeah.
If they put that game 3 at Hard Rock Stadium, obviously they draw a lot more than 22,000 or 24,000, whatever the number is, to go there. And by the way, the deeper they get in these playoffs, the more coverage they get. I think it'd be a lot of people go to those games. I don't know if they put 65,000 in or 66,000.
You know, it's interesting. Last year, the first year, it was a wave of excitement. And now it's sort of a daily but it's not that sugar rush of last year. You know, it's more of...
But they still get 40,000, 50,000.
Oh, they get... It's full. It's full. Every
tickets are still on sale for game three.
See, there you go. See,
if you're watching social media, I'm getting updates all the time to buy tickets for this game three.
Is this people? So that's a little misleading because everybody's buying these tickets and jacking the price up to sell them and make money, right? Are we talking about, or you can buy them from the team and...
They're online. The team is selling tickets.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Surprised.
Yeah.
South Florida is such a bizarre sports community.
And we got the best hockey team in the NHL. They're playing tomorrow, too. Well, they got a bunch of home games.
Not only the best, a... incredible product to watch. I mean, a fun... If you like sports, even if you can learn to like hockey, but the way they play is a lot of fun.
What is it about a core, would you say? The core is 8 to 10 players that were kind of used to...
Yeah, I would
from
say.
From last year that they were able to keep together.
First two lines and a couple defensemen and obviously the...
And they got Verhaeghe's contract done, who had a couple goals last night. And Bennett's the only one... who got off to a great start. I mean, he got off to a great start.
I think he has 8 goals.
He does have 8 goals.
And he had 20 goals all last year. 8 goals in 10 games. I remember putting this out. And he had 20 goals all last season.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, he'd be the next one. I was there at the opening game, and after Paul Maurice talked after the game, they said, "Oh, you want to hang? Everybody wants to hang around in the room for a minute. We got something else." And they bring in Verhaeghe, and there he's just signed it. So Bill Zito's getting it done. You know, he's kept his core. He got the core, and now he's kept it. He keeps it together.
Long term contracts, but the money's completely different than we're talking about in football and basketball and all our other
sports. And it's completely different. The way it's different, also, no renegotiation. There's never renegotiation, and it's all guaranteed. So it's a very
bizarre...
So you
have anybody towards the end of camp whining about their contracts that they need to make more money?
And here's the most fascinating thing. In hockey, it's set up as a hierarchy. The best player... I mean, Barkov makes $10 million, and everybody who knows he's the best player,
it's amazing.
The most.
I agree.
And so and look at everybody else is under that. And it's very
interesting. When I heard that from Tkachuk, I was blown away.
Yeah.
I did not. And then all the rest of these guys. You know, Reinhardt. I mean, Reinhardt's as hot as anybody, you know.
I think he's making $8.5 million. Tkachuk's $9 million, maybe $9.5 million. But in other sports, and I get it, the union says, No. You need to set the bar. They're constantly resetting the bar, but in hockey, it's no. The best player makes the most,
and those guys want to stay together. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, 7 or 8 a year, and you got a 7-year contract. A lot of money. That's life-changing money.
No tax.
No tax is big. I think those guys love it. They're all living. Most of them used to live out west, and now. A lot of those guys are living
taking
east
golf carts to practice,
closer to the water on the aisles. You know the whole thing. So, hey, so we've got all this stuff. I want to get back to this Dolphin thing for just a second. So you know the situation. Dolphins are 2-6, getting ready to play the Rams, which I expect is going to be a high scoring game. I really believe, and Dave, tell me. So this is their thing. They've looked at every part of this. I brought it up the last couple of days, and it looks like Zach Seidler's going to be back, and Kader Kohu, and we'll see who else, if River Craycraft's going to be back or not, and some other guys. But I think they've looked at everything, and they have said, and they're like fans. They look at the schedule coming up. If we can beat the Rams, that'll put us at 3-6, and then, Dave, they got two of the worst teams in football, which I know people are going to say, hey, they're in that party too. They got the 2-7 Raiders and the 2-7 Patriots the two following weeks. Their thought is, we'll come home and win those games. I know, just stay with me while you're giving me that look and going, are you kidding? We haven't seen them win a game in more than a month. That makes them 5-6 on the season. And I really believe, because part of this is, like you said before, you not only need to win your game, but you need help from teams ahead of you. Like last night, you got help. Cincinnati's now 4-6. Chargers and Broncos, over 500. As you know, the Broncos play Kansas City this week. Probably going to go back to 5-5. And that's part of what I'm talking about, but you could literally, after these three games, if you're able to win, again, not crazy. Rams, we'll see. I'm not sure. That's a basically a pick 'em game. And then we'll see at home where they're going to be favored, obviously, against the Raiders and the Patriots. Now, schedule picks up after that, including Thursday night, last game, Green Bay at Green Bay. But if you can get back to there, I'm telling you, that's what they're looking at and going after that. If they win three straight, again, they've only won two games, so I know, but they're going, hey, we're not that far out of that last spot. Now, I'm not talking about winning the AFC East like we used to do. That's done.
Home field, gone.
Gone. This is about one of those wild card spots again. What do you think?
Well, my thought is they had no other option to think. This is the route they have to take. They have to take that. Yeah, we got a nice schedule coming up after the Rams. We can get our season, our feet back under us and get going.
Because right.
what other option do they have? They have no other option. These guys, let's face it, they're 2-6. If this season keeps going south, if they go to 2-7 and 3-9,
they come home 2-7, we got a problem.
We're going to be talking, okay, these guys are fighting for their jobs. Greer, and then if Greer goes, what do they do with McDaniel? And so if it keeps going south, the conversation is going to be
totally
who keeps their job. So
totally agree.
From their standpoint, and I get it too. Look, they got Tua back. Tua played a great game against the Bills. Great game. So you know they got the running game going. Sealers coming back. Defense. Maybe they can get
They've given up a lot of points the last two games defensively. You know, they got to play better.
And I'm not a better, and this will be the second time I brought up spreads from this Rams game. I'm not against betting. I just don't. It's no fun for me. But 50 points is the over-under for this game. 50. It just seems like it's going to be over that.
I agree.
It's an easy bet.
I totally agree this thing will be over 50. Matter of fact, I think Perk wrote, if I'm not, they need to be in the 30s. And I was kind of thinking, you're right, the high 27 has been the number the last 2 weeks. It's probably got to be more because these guys got, I think they've got some offensive linemen have been on IR coming back, and they've got all their weapons, all those receivers. It's a pretty good group, pretty damn good group of receivers. And then, you know, so
the
they're
Rams
pretty good shape.
The construction is really interesting, too, on defense. Now, they were picking 19th. Dolphins were picking 21st. They took Jared Verse from Florida State. It would be interesting. That'd be a player the Dolphins probably would have loved. They got Chop.
He might be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
But then Verse. They backed that up by taking his teammate from Florida State, who – When I was reading about it last night, they took Fisk. Fisk, is it?
Yeah.
Because not only they like him as a player, he has a great relationship. He's like best friends with Verse. And they thought, we're going to team these guys up.
Well, they're both starting.
And they got two other defensive linemen.
They got their center. Their center's a rookie. He's starting. They've got.
You talk about impact of a class.
So there's another team that brings guys in, young guys. And says we've done some financial, we went for it, and they had to pay for a little bit. Not very long, by the way. They never dropped off the cliff, it seems like. They still had some decent teams.
They made the playoffs last year.
And so you look, but they're another team that's not afraid. They had, I believe, 9 draft picks last year, and most of them, a lot of them are playing. They've got a lot. The backup running back from Michigan, little stud. So anyway.
So wait a second. You can get draft classes, like multiple players coming in and helping you right away.
And by the way, they have to come in and play.
Does that happen? I'm not used to that idea.
I know that we don't do a lot of that. That's not a us thing. I mean, they can't even get mad if they're listening right now. That's a fact.
That's just the way it is.
But I know one thing. The draft is not built where we start to see him peak in year 3, 4, 5. That's not what the draft's about. The draft's about getting guys in, getting them on the cheap before you have to pay them.
And getting good, young, healthy bodies that's coming true. In too. I mean, that's you know, in addition to cheap, that's what's necessary to win.
But I just wanted to throw that out because I'm telling you, I know what they're thinking. I thought the same thing. You get by the Rams, who are 4-4. You beat them out there. You got to win some road games, or this is. And there's three parts. You've got those two games at home. You got to win. Now all of a sudden you leave after that game, and now you get ready for Thanksgiving. It's going to be a tough night in Green Bay. It's going to be, and you're one game below 500 if you can win your next three. And that's what they're thinking. The part I don't know that we haven't talked about, because it's down the road, and I understand, the Jets sitting with three wins. Nobody likes them. I mean, nobody likes Aaron Rodgers. They become a real easy team to dislike in general, not just for Dolphin fans because they've always been like that. But I don't know how good they are. Can the Dolphins beat the Jets twice?
Yeah. I think they playing like they did last week.
That defense gets after it now.
That they don't get after it. They get after it some days, and other days they act like they're a mediocre
team.
They
have been a disappointment overall.
Yeah.
But they got added some peace. I mean, do they finally click at some point, or is this just watching Aaron Rodgers every Tuesday?
They play Arizona, and I got to admit, Arizona was a better team than I thought when I saw them play down here. And they won last week against
killed somebody.
I can't remember.
No, they hammered somebody last week.
Chicago.
Thank you. And
that's why we got
the Jets probably. You'd pick Arizona over the Jets right now. Now the Jets have three wins. That's the interesting thing for the Dolphins is who's going to be in and who's going to be out in the last month. Cleveland's going to be out there, which
they're shipping guys out.
So that's how if the Jets season goes south.
I think they're the same boat we're in.
Yes.
They're saying
the
same thing.
Yes.
They're built to win right now. You don't trade for Devontae Adams and have a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, and we're still talking about what Aaron Rodgers did in Green Bay a few years ago.
And made WQAM your favorite station? Do it. Listen to us live or on demand and use the Rewind feature to go back and listen to any part of any shows you might have missed.
All right, welcome. Welcome back here to a Friday morning as we got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff in just about every sport possible. Inter-Miami got a Game 3 playoff game tomorrow night in Fort Lauderdale. And, of course, the Panthers will be back in action at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And then, oh, by the way, kind of kicking things off at noon, kind of a huge game. If you're a University of Miami fan, they've got Georgia Tech.
Does this bring up the ghosts, or are you nervous about the last few games? You've been nervous from the start of this season.
I have.
Because you don't like it when people say Miami is a better team than all these
I don't mind that because I do believe that. I have trouble with Woody does his point spread all the time, and it's at 20 and it's at 22, and I go, Woody, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. Oh, no, they should really. So and Georgia Tech's going to come out and throw everything they have to start the game. I don't know what's going to happen. I do know this. The defense giving up a lot of points. I know what happens. By the way, the whole personality of these games has been, for the Canes, been pretty much the same, right? They fall behind, it's tight, and then somewhere in the third quarter, into the fourth, Cam Ward takes over and scores at a ridiculous pace, and the next thing you know, they're in the 40s or 50s or high 30s, and these teams just can't keep up. They're going, okay, you run the mile. We're used to running the 400 meters because we can't keep up. And I think there's going to be a little bit of that again tomorrow.
At some point, some Saturday, they just blow out a team, and you look at the score against Florida State, but the game itself wasn't a complete blowout or anything. So, they were always in control.
But the same problems have popped up early in games.
Yeah.
Not necessarily late, because they have gotten, if you go back and look at most of the games, they're getting stops and they get a few takeaways in the fourth quarter.
They shut down Duke.
They allowed 3 points. Right. Exactly. But early in the games, 27 yard completion, 27. 40. 20-yard run. And you're like, okay, okay. So I don't think it's going to stop. I think defense, this is part of what's going to happen. So if you're watching tomorrow, don't get all frustrated. You've seen it for 2 months. Just understand. And they're talking about reading all the Georgia stuff up in Atlanta in the media yesterday about Georgia Tech. And they're talking about Cam Ward can score a lot. You better score. You got to get off. Hey, Cam Ward needs to be on the side. We need some. Everybody says this, by the way. For everybody that's got a great offense, everybody says our offense needs to be on the field for 8-minute drives. Well, it sounds great. Everybody'd like to have a 14-play drive. Dolphins had one of those last week against Buffalo. For like 8.5 minutes, yeah.
Opening drive, drive
love
of the year.
Love to have those.
Drive of the year.
Yeah, right? Love to have those. Bam, 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 bam. Back and forth. But so, and it's not a shot because I still think they can, but for, you know, Mario comes on, he says, hey, we got to clean a few things up. And I just realized, and now they're a shorthanded on a corner, actually two, because a young guy from American Heritage Plantation has not been able to come back since the start of the year, and I know they really like him. They think he's going to be really special. So they're going to go after. They're going to go after. I don't know how well Georgia Tech throws it. They've got some quarterbacks that have been banged up and stuff. But
you know what I keep hearing, like when Mario talks, and he talked at halftime. I was at the game last against Duke and talked after the game. Well, we were man-to-man. You know, when they switched to zone, I think they're going to go more zone coverage. Just from watching them play this year, they shut down Duke when they went to zone. Yeah. And maybe they just don't have the plan, the people to play man-to-man the way they want to.
That's one thing I don't think – I agree. I think the one thing they don't have right now is the talent that they still want to have.
On the back secondary. End. On the yeah. back end.
I agree. Yeah. And by the way, the pass rush got to be better than it was last game,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Pass rush
now, they
was
were getting
not...
rid of the ball quick. Duke yeah. was getting rid of the ball quick. But yeah. you're right. There was no pressure on the quarterback.
So it will be very interesting to see what the game plan is. But, I mean, how much does it change? We're more than 2 months into this thing. You know? Like, okay, but how much – is it really going
to
change?
I hope it doesn't change, to all be honest, because it's fun to watch.
No, it's great to watch.
It's fun to watch.
I can tell people that don't care about either team go, man, those are fun games to watch. That kid is fun to watch throw it around the football field when he's dropping back there, whether he's running or getting outside the pocket and letting it rip. But, hey.
Is he the best player Miami's had? I mean, I get it's for 1 year, so – He hit the season running, and there's no build up, and nobody really knew what to expect. He kept, well, he's really good at Washington State. Okay, but I never saw him play out there.
I didn't either.
But he might be the best player Miami has had, considering the position and his talent. They've only had
how
one.
How far are you going back now? You scare me when you do this. Somebody else did this the other day.
Let's put it this way: how many number one pick overalls have they had? One, Vinny. How many Heisman Trophy? Vinny
had
the other one.
Great, and Jim Kelly. Oh, listen, those right, guys are right. all taken the first round because they had great physical skill. But as far as some of the things this guy does, it's so we know Jim Kelly ended up being a Hall of Famer. So right. I got to start with that.
Right.
Vinny Testaverde had a nice career too. So I'm always. It's kind of hard to just stay
Ray
in
Lewis,
college.
Ray Lewis wasn't bad. Now, yeah, well, are we talking NFL careers or? In their finite
have you ever
time
noticed?
Here.
I've noticed doing radio for a long, long time that it's hard to just talk about a guy's college career without throwing in yeah. how good they were. Because yeah. Canes have had a lot of guys who were really good, really, really good in high draft picks, and had an amazing amount of success from all those guys. And in some cases, those guys are a lot better in the pros than they were in college.
Well, you can look at the pros right now. What is it? Look at the. Who the Dolphins are going to play? Cam Kitchens right now is having a, you know, he's a third round pick.
And he's a second, yeah, second, third round pick. They had two, and another guy that's got two. Had a big interception for a touchdown.
Yeah, I can't think of his name, but then Chicago was it Tyreek Stevenson, the guy who was part
no, he
of that.
Was great last year. But everybody's yes. quietly is going. He was never that good at UM.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
put him in a system. He's a physical guy, and. You know, but that happens a lot at UM. Now, listen, there's a lot of guys really good at UM. We're really good, and we got to see them a lot more in the pros, and they're even better.
I talked to a scout who's who watches UM recently, and he said, got to wait a year or two. Meaning that their talent that Mario has recruited and or brought on NIL, it's coming up. You know, it's not ready. It's not draftable yet. But they see, you know, not this draft, the next one, that some of these guys are going to start hitting the NFL.
I am really curious because we've had people come on and say Cam Ward's going to be the first overall pick. And I'm like, ooh. That's my first reaction. Ooh. I mean, you start talking about being the number one overall pick. It's wow.
That's my reaction, too, until this past week where I talked to a couple guys and they looked at me because I said, how high? And they just looked like, yeah, it's going to be
high. Oh, no, he's going to be a high pick.
He's going to be high.
Yeah, I'm curious. Real high. I'm curious to see if he's the first quarterback.
Yeah. The question then becomes who else? And then
Colorado's going to pop up.
Exactly. Sanders and Colorado. And I got to admit, I don't know how all the other guys.
So the other guy everybody did like that's kind of they've cooled off on is a quarterback yours at Texas. He got injured. He came back. He didn't look very good. I don't know what's going on there, but. I don't know.
And who's
going to
be picking first? Well, it doesn't matter because if they're picking first and they don't want a quarterback, like a New England say, they would trade
it or do something right. If anyway, we've got 7 o'clock hour. We're going to check in with Larry Bluestein. By the way, 7 o'clock. We got all kinds of news, man. We've got playoffs getting ready to start. Booker T wrapped up a high position in the playoffs. Coach Harris really got that thing rolling again at Booker T. It's a good story, and then all the other problems. And I'm really curious. I haven't heard Blue lately on this forfeit thing. You know, I don't know how big a story it was. I thought it was you put in the front of the paper one of your best schools that's been a national powerhouse for a while, and you find out they're forfeiting every game before the playoffs. I don't – like, somebody's got to go, hey – well, what the hell's going on? How's that happen? Like, somebody from Dade County must be going, the athletic director of Dade County down to the school, the principal, to the AD, they must be going, hey, this is a bad look for us. This is bad. This is not good. And for Central, if they don't play these games, we'll talk to Blue about it because I think they're on probation again part of next year. There's going to be a lot of guys going, school's on probation, not me. My ass is going somewhere else.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.